In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has also written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. "Therefore, depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as redeemed by Christ the crucified." Let us pray. O Almighty and Eternal God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray on behalf of your servant Benjamin, who asks for the gift of your baptism and desires your eternal grace through spiritual rebirth. Receive him, Lord, according to your promise. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Now give your blessing to him who asks, and open the door to him who knocks, so that he may obtain the eternal blessing of this heavenly bath, and receive the promised kingdom that you give through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea. Yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism of the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Benjamin according to your boundless mercy and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit. And through this saving flood, all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam and which he himself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer over Benjamin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Benjamin, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Benjamin, do you desire to be baptized?
Yes, I do.
Benjamin, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you new birth of water and the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Peace be with you. Depart in peace.
O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Let us worship the Lord.
Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the God of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him.
We continue with the introit as printed in your bulletin insert. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. You will increase my greatness. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you.
My soul also will
and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You may be seated for the lection.
The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 65. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here am I, here am I," to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their bosom both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord. As the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, "Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it," so I will do for my servants' sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Galatians chapter 3. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Then they sailed to the county of Gerasenes,
which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it to the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our VBS kids may come forward for their musical offering. continue with the hymn of the day.
All time belongs to Him. God is the creator of time, and thus it is sacred. And He has placed us in time. The rhythms of our daily lives, the rhythms of day and night, of weeks and months, of seasons and of years, they shape us. Time defines us, it forms us, and it is the space in which we dwell. All time belongs to Him. And thus, when God called the nation of Israel to be a people set apart for Himself, He established a sacred rhythm, a pattern for daily life to organize it around His word. He established a weekly rhythm of work and of rest, and a liturgical calendar of feasts and festivals. The church, as the people of God, also has its own sacred calendar of feasts and celebrations. It has been a rhythm of time which has shaped God's people for 2,000 years. A rhythm that helps to draw us into His divine life and to ground us in Him and His saving word. Ideally, the daily life of the Christian should follow this rhythm. Have a rhythm of prayer and meditation on God's word, which daily grounds us in that faith and life. Of course, there is also the weekly rhythm of Sunday mornings, ideally, again, in which we weekly carry our sins and our troubles and our burdens to the altar of our God and are renewed and refreshed by His very blood for the forgiveness of sins, that we might go forth into the week with new vigor and new life. And so, too, at the largest level, there is the church year. So that there is a yearly pattern to our life that is not just marked by secular holidays or the changing of seasons or the school going into session or being out of session, but that is marked by sacred things. The church year is divided into two parts. The first half is the festival season, which begins with Advent and takes us on a journey which draws us into Jesus' own life. It starts with the incarnation that for us men and for our salvation, the Son of God took on our human flesh and frailty so that he might defeat sin, death, and the devil in our flesh. And the festival season ends with the ascension, which we celebrated 2 weeks ago, where Christ is raised and raises that very flesh to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. The second half of the church year is the long green season, which we call ordinary time. It is upon this season that we now enter. Having received our salvation and new life from Christ, we enter into a season of growth, and thus our pyramids are green. It is a season that focuses on the growth of the church and the growth in the Christian life, which by the power of the Holy Spirit evermore grows into the image of Christ. There, and thus it is, that our lectionary assigns this gospel text for this morning. Because this miracle of Jesus represents the beginning of the Christian life. There is a man that has been possessed by demons, which have driven him out of the city, which have driven him out from his family and his friends, and make him to dwell among the tombs. He is a dead man walking, living among the dead, living among the unclean. This legion of demons has great power. They have enslaved this man, and they have imbued him with superhuman strength. Whenever the people of the town had tried to bind him with chains and shackles, he'd shockingly break free of them. But when confronted by the Lord, this legion of demons throws down their host at his feet and cry out to Jesus, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Although they hate Jesus, although they are in rebellion against God, when they come face to face with the Lord of hosts, they know that their days of walking the earth are numbered. That legion of demons, that foul host, knows that with a word of his inexorable power, Jesus can cast them out into the abyss, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. While they might be mighty over men, they have no power over the Son of Man. The devil and his wicked hosts will try. With the allegiance of wicked men, they will try to overcome the Son of Man. They will put him to death. They will crucify him. They will bury him in the ground. But they have no power over him. On the third day, he will rise, and he will rise victorious, having conquered sin, death, and them. And yet Jesus, on that day, recorded in our gospel text, does not cast the demons into the abyss. Not yet. It is not because he took pity on those foul demonic spirits. He takes pity on us. He does not take pity on them. No, that legion is consigned for damnation. They are consigned for the pit. They are consigned to the abyss. But he does not cast them into the abyss because the time has not yet come. He does not cast them into the abyss because the day of final judgment, the day of the fullness of time, has not yet come. On that last day, when all will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, the devil, his demons, and all who have sworn allegiance to them will be cast into the lake of fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. But on this day, he permits the demons to depart into a large herd of pigs, which were feeding there on the hillside. He permits the unclean spirits to enter into the unclean animals.
note and take comfort in the fact that even the demons need Jesus' permission, for he is Lord of all. The swine, overcome by the power of those wicked servants, race headlong into the sea and are drowned. And the man who had been freed is found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And the people, although not outright possessed like the man was, are nonetheless under the sway of those very same demonic powers. And so they are afraid. Jesus sends the man to his home to proclaim how much God has done for him. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. For this man now knew that the Lord Jesus, who had freed him, was none other than the Lord God of heaven and of earth. Now, the evangelist Luke records this miracle for us, not just as an example of Jesus' power over the legions of the demonic, but he also records it for us as a historical parable for the Christian life. The miracles in the Gospel of Luke can be divided into two miracles. There are the baptismal miracles, and there are the Eucharistic miracles. All the miracles of Jesus' earthly ministry point forward toward Jesus' continued ministry in his church, the ministry carried out through word and sacrament. Today's miracle, the liberation of the man from the demonic legion, is a baptismal miracle. St. Paul speaks about our life before coming to faith in Christ in this way. We were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. That is to say, because of our sinful condition and our bondage to sin, we were under the righteous judgment of God's law, which pronounces us dead on account of sin. The human condition in the state of nature, to borrow a phrase from the philosopher Hobbes, is a state of spiritual bondage to sin and subjection to death. The human heart, before it is born again of water and the Spirit, is wicked and deceitful beyond all things, the prophets tell us. We abide in spiritual darkness, unable to see the light, comprehend the things of God, to trust in him or to love him. In a very real sense, Jesus says that the state of unbelief and sin is slavery, and identifies us as children of the devil rather than of the Heavenly Father. We are all born under the power of sin, under the sway of the cosmic demonic powers that rule this world, and thus are under the condemnation of the law. We are possessed by the spirit of this age rather than the spirit of our God. We are all like the man in the gospel text, members of the walking dead, living among the dead. Hopeless and lost without a savior, engaged in self-destructive pursuits. But the Lord Jesus comes to meet us with an inexorable word that can command even the demons and conquer death. That word is spoken at the beginning of the baptismal rite, which begins with an exorcism, as you may have noticed. The unclean spirit of the world is commanded by the name of the triune God to depart from the baptizand, and it must obey the word of the Savior. Just as the wicked legion that possessed the man is sent into the unclean swine and drowned in the sea in holy baptism, the old sinful flesh and unclean flesh with the demonic powers that possess it are drowned in the waters. And we are set free. We are given new life, born again of water and the Spirit, so that we might sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you, Jesus commanded the man, and so he commands us. Our home is here, in this family of faith.
through this font, we were born into this family. From this lectern and this pulpit, we hear the words of Jesus and we sit at his feet. And from this altar, which is our family table, we receive our daily bread. And our Lord nourishes us and sustains us. So let it be so that we go out from our home and proclaim all that Jesus has done for us. That he has freed us from our bondage to sin. That he has freed us from our bondage to the demonic powers. That he has forgiven us through his precious blood. And he gives us new life. Today, Benjamin, you have been freed, released from the power of the devil by the waters of holy baptism. Your Lord has come to you, and he calls you by name. May you ever be found in this house, for you are a child of God, his beloved and most holy. In the name of Jesus, amen. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O King of kings and Lord of lords, you call out to every nation of the earth seeking repentance and justice, even as they rebel against your will. Work repentance in all civil leaders. Use them to defend the weak and punish the guilty, that the church may have free course to preach the gospel. Defend those who defend our constitutional republic, that we might have freedom to worship you, especially Sean, Austin, and Thomas. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, your Son sent the man formerly possessed by demons to declare how much God had done for him. May your church also, rescued from the snares of the devil, proclaim how much Jesus has done for us. We pray especially for those who bring your gospel to foreign lands, such as David and Barbara. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Father, from whom all fatherhood is named, we give you thanks for earthly fathers. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of godly life and love of your word. Bless their work of bringing up children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and give them the comfort of your absolution over all their shortcomings. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have established governments and institutions for good order and our well-being. Guide and grant wisdom to the leaders and citizens. Give peace, security, and good laws to our own country, our cities, and our communities. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, your Son Jesus had pity on the man afflicted with an abundance of demons. Have mercy now on the afflictions that beset Karen, Harold, Esther, Marvin, Mary, Jim, Aubrey, Barbara, Charlotte, Maya, Wanda, Kenny, Patricia, and all for whom we pray. Give them healing, strength, and an increase of faith. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, Isaiah spoke of the new wine full of blessing that will not be destroyed. Grant your whole church faithfully to eat and drink our Lord's own body and blood, given in fellowship of your altar. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father, you know the condition of our souls, that we frequently wander into sins, vice, and danger. Hear our prayers for the sake of Christ, who defeated legions of demons so that we might receive adoption as sons, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Thank you all for joining us this morning as we heard about Jesus freeing the man of the legion of demons and how he frees us all from the demonic powers that possess us, and especially to celebrate little Benjamin's baptism this morning. This has been a great month. Every single week, the kingdom of God has been expanding here at Zion. So that is very exciting to see how God is working here. Last week, as many of you know, we had VBS, and it was a lot of fun. I was running the games, and I am sore all over. I have not run or jumped or tumbled that much in probably 7 or 8 years, so apparently I should have been training for VBS to prepare myself for it, but it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it, and thank you for all the volunteers that helped out with that, because VBS is a lot of work, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a chance for the kids to have fun and hear about Jesus and hear about how God loves them, but it's a lot of work on behalf of all the volunteers that put that together to get that program going, so thank you for all who volunteered and helped out with that and organized all that goes into VBS. Let's see here. And also thanks, of course, to everyone who donated to VBS. Ladies' Aid will be meeting this Tuesday at 7. All ladies are invited, so if you are free, please come and join for that. Very important, I have a new phone number, which is listed here in the bulletin. So if you're going to call my old one, it's not going to work. So if you need to get a hold of me, make sure you call the new one. I have now abandoned my past life as a Californian from the Bay Area and ditched the 510 area code and have joined you with a 419, integrating myself into the Ohio community, right? So look for that. Largely because I was worried if you got calls from a California number, a lot of you would ignore it, not knowing who it's from. So look for that. As you heard in the prayers, keep Marvin and Mary Grody, especially in your prayers this week. They are both in the hospital at Adams Memorial. So Marvin went in this last Wednesday. He was throwing up and couldn't keep any food down. So he is there now. And Mary could not stay away, so she decided to break her back on Thursday night so that she could join Marvin in the hospital. She is doing well and is in very good spirits. On Monday, she should be going to Lutheran and getting a procedure done. And it sounds like, from what the nurse is saying, it should be a pretty simple procedure. And they think she's going to be up and walking in just a few days after that. So keep them both in your prayers this week and for the coming weeks as they recover. We have several people who have expressed interest in joining the congregation. And that is also very exciting. So I'm looking to start some Foundations of the Faith courses meant for the new members to give a basic overview of what we believe so you know what you're signing up for and what you're going to be confessing when you join our congregation. But it's not just for new members. So anyone would be welcome to join because it is a Foundations of the Faith course. So it'll be a review for you and to learn your catechism again if you have forgotten it in the many years. So anyone who is interested in joining, who has spoken to me about it in the past, please talk to me about a time that you think it would be good to have those classes. You can call me, email me, talk to me in the back. I'm thinking after church on Sunday makes the most sense, but maybe not. Some people can't make it every Sunday, so if there's a weekday that works better, at any time, we could figure that out. And then finally, a lot of announcements today. Whoever took the confirmation photos, if you could get me a copy of that, I don't remember who it was, so that I can get a frame and put it in and get that hung up on the wall in the fellowship hall over there. So whoever was taking the pictures, I know I got my picture taken by somebody, so whoever that was, please get me a copy of that so I can get it up there. You can email it to me or whatever. Okay, any announcements that I missed in that plethora of announcements? Depart in peace.